Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hey, what's going on, all you Brooklyn Buddhists? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Della Valle Brooklyn Buddha podcast, co-hosted by Tim Amamune. And a few appearances by myself. Today on the podcast, Jimmy and his buddy Nick Novicki stopped by. Nick, an actor, comedian, writer, who's made appearances on such shows as Boardwalk Empire and the Mother Truckin' Sopranos. Yeah, really funny guy. Stops by, tells us a few things about a passion project that he's trying to get off the ground. And it's just a great interview overall. We had a really great time. And Jimmy's got a few dates tonight. If you are in the Nyack, New York area, Jimmy is going to be appearing at Levity Live. And then also on June 29th, Jimmy will be at Caroline's Comedy Club. Caroline's, a famous comedy club in NYC. Make it out. Come check out the Brooklyn Buddha himself. And y'all have a great day and enjoy the show.
Brooklyn Buddha. So, guys, I'm excited to have this guy. This guy was on a Sopranos, Boardwalk, Empire. We did a shitty film together. And we don't care. You know, it's not like, oh, Jimmy, you did that. We're boys.
That's the name of it.
Yeah, it's a shitty film. It was a shitty film producer with fake tits. The worst director ever. But anyways, we did this, and it was great because we're both from the East Coast, and then we saw each other on set in L.A., and he played the head mob guy to me. It was so funny. You know what I mean? So, anyways, he's an actor, a writer, producer, director, just a great dude.
And a funny comic. I know him from New York.
Well, you know him from New York. Yeah. You met him, what, stand-up New York, right?
I think
we did camp shows together.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, they don't even do those here. You know, Woody knows nothing about that. They have all these shows in New York City that you go everywhere. Like, we would do camp shows from, like, noon till, like, fucking sometimes 3, 4, and then you're relaxing, and then you're auditioning or eating or whatever, and then you start up your regular shows. And then you do prom shows at night. Like, New York City was fucking insane. Here, you've got the ice house, and then you run to another spot if you're lucky.
Making it to another spot from Pasadena.
Oh, yeah, right? Exactly. But anyways, without further ado, what do you say hi to everybody?
Hello.
And Tim?
Hello.
Tim's a fucking baby today. We'll see if Tim can pull it off. And Tim hurt himself, right?
How? I don't know. It's one of those things you don't even know. It just, you wake up and you're getting old.
Yeah.
And you throw out, pop out a shoulder or whatever.
So sprain. Shoulder's hurting. So we did a show last night. Show's packed at Harvell's Comedy Club in Long Beach. Dee Burdett, thanks, sweetie, and John Benitez. So we do the show. It's great. And he's like, my shoulder, man. So we go get him Tiger Bomb. And now he fucking smells like Tiger Bomb. He reeks of Tiger Bomb.
That's my new cologne.
I gotta tell my fucking guest he reeks of Tiger Bomb. And it didn't work. He's like, it didn't work. It still
hurt. It actually is worse.
Anyways, without further ado, let's bring on my boy Nick Novicki.
Hey, what's going on?
Excellent. So Nick, when we first met, you were in New York, but were you out of Philly?
Yeah, I was going to college in Philly. So I was going back and forth, but I was there all the time. I mean, people would think I was living in the city because I would crash with Mark Riccadonna, and then eventually I got a place with him. I would sublet in the summers.
Right. I remember Mark Riccadonna when he was new comic. Yeah. Now he's a headliner, but he was at Stand Up New York and producing shows and all that shit.
And the funny thing is that what you said too, we would do camp shows. You know, how crazy is this? Some of those camp shows, that was a while ago, 2002, 2003. Those kids were like 8, 10, 12 years. They're out of college now, those kids.
Right.
Those kids aren't, you know, they're now, you know, one of those kids, you know, we might have to track them down.
Or that they might have started comedy and we were the first, you know, because they probably not, at that age, you probably didn't even see it on TV yet when you're that young.
Right.
So, because I remember when I was in high school, I started performing. And kids in high school didn't even, they heard of like Eddie Murphy and Andrew Dice Clay, but they really didn't know what stand-up was.
Yeah.
And that was 14, 15, so these kids, so that they're like, yeah.
So you, so I met you, and I remember you're like, yeah, I'm in acting class and blah, blah, blah. I thought you were an American...
Academy of Dramatic Arts.
You were, right?
I did that just for a summer.
Just for a summer, like so, the intensive. To put it on your resume.
Just to throw it on the resume. Yeah. So I went to the Academy. I went to the Academy of Dramatic Arts. You know, and that's on the resume. I got a couple things on there. Yeah. I saved about $100,000.
That's hilarious. I remember when I was getting married and my mother, Costa Rican, Latin, fucking craziness, right? She says, someone says to her, he goes, oh, this is... He says NYU. Jimmy graduated from NYU. And my wife's like, she's like, well, no, he didn't graduate. He only did 6 months. She goes, nobody needs to know. He graduated with honors.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, no one's fact-checking. You know, right. People are saying I went for 15 years of this study. You know,
right.
Look, unless you know some kind of bio, right. You know, thing where you're going to be able to cut open somebody's brain. You know, nobody...
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up, like, I grew up, my sister went with Richard Gere to, or not Richard Gere, Richard Gere's brother, to the prom. And Richard Gere claims to be from, like, a farm. Like, I grew up on a farm and not Buddhist. You know, like, this whole, like, get the fuck out of here. You didn't grow up down the street from me.
Where? In New York?
Yeah.
Long Island?
It's where he discovered his fondness of gerbils.
No, actually, Syracuse, New York, where Syracuse. I was before I went to Brooklyn and Manhattan. And it was so funny. Like, it's such a lie. Like, my mom is like his dad's best friend, Homer. It's like, he's Homer. I always thought that was so cool. His dad's name was Homer.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah, right. Homer Gere. Right. That's where they got the name. Anyways, so we did this, let's talk about the shit we've done. Shit work at first, right?
Yeah. Well, the camp shows were always fun. They would be hard, but those the kids fun. Were. We'd always get them. You know, those were fun. That movie, though, was a pretty, you know. It was fun hanging with you.
Yeah. Yeah, little, everyone's little to me. I'm 6 foot, like, Dave. I call him Little Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he comes over, and the kid's so handsome. He's got this, like, great body, and he's got flats. And they're, like, this high. And he's standing here. And my wife's going, did you grow? And he's like, no. I don't know, I must have different shoes. And I go, yeah, they got high heels on in my living room. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
You know, he's a great dude. I love David. David Lawrence, shout out to David. You know, he had cancer when he was a fat kid. Cancer. He beat it. Then he got in really good shape. Did you ever meet David?
He's really
handsome. Like, girls are crazy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good dude.
You know, Josh, the funny guy, Josh is awesome. A great guy. The one of the guys, you know, the old guy, he kind of looked like the Monopoly guy. He's been in all these Mercedes commercials that we did that movie with. Did you know he's in, like, that guy is killing it. I mean, he's become a millionaire from that shoot. I saw him on this commercial. He said he's been on a Mercedes. They've had him on a holding fee for the last 6 years.
Who was he in the movie?
He was the old guy. He played, like, I can't even remember. He was, like, Russian or Jewish or, you know, but whatever. He had, like, a big mustache. He's old. The only guy with gray hair.
I forgot who that is, but I was just in Japan for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. What are you doing?
And I did some shows, but I also brought my wife and Dan Friedman. Remember, he was the big Russian. He was the head Russian in the scenes with us.
Yeah.
The tall motherfucker.
Okay, yeah.
He, like, kind of got annoyed. He's from Philly. He got annoyed with Hollywood. He picked up and went and lived in Japan. He, like, lives in this little... Well, it's not a little...
He pulled the last samurai.
Yeah. He lives in Osaka. Dude, he can speak it, too. And so he picks me up on the subway. And I did a whole bit about it, but I'm not doing a bit now. But he was like... I'm going... I go, why do you do it like that? He goes, it shows power when you talk to him. It makes them respect you because you're white. And I go, but it's like you're making fun of him. Because, like, he'll go, who nobody do? Who nobody do? Like, that's how he does it. And I go, you don't have to do that. Who nobody do? Like, that's how he does it. I go, sumimase, I say it and they get it. They know that's excuse me and stuff. But he's like, who nobody? Who nobody? Like, his face and the shit. I go, you're not making fun of me. He's like, no, that's how I do it.
So, you know what that is?
Maybe
he was never comfortable with the sound of his voice. He always wanted to have a deeper sound in thing.
It was so
and he does it in Japanese, he can be like, I'm doing it. Yeah, he can go
well,
to that level.
The funny thing is, so you remember him, right? Dan Freeman. So he was the tall. I mean, he was like so tall because I was supposed to be the lead Russian guy, you know. So I'm doing this Russian accent, and then she's like, well, I got this guy. He's way bigger. It looks better for him to be the lead guy. And I mean, and I'm 6 foot, and this guy is like, you know, 6'9".
Yeah, he was big.
And the other one was even bigger than me, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know? But anyway. So then, of course, you're, I guess, big break in the business for people to really go, hey, was when you did Sopranos, when you worked with Robert Isle, right?
Yeah. That was the first kind of, you know, that was the first big show I got. I mean, that was the best.
Right.
The best show ever, you know, so just to be a part of that. And you worked on it too. So.
And when you walked in at the strip joint and you're just, you know, it was so great.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great role. It was one of those kind of things too where it just happened so quick. You go, oh, I got an audition, you know, I go in. I was even working. I told the casting director, I go, look, I can't be there for the callback. And she said, all right, well, let me make sure I get it twice then, or we'll get it in another way. And I was working, I did a music video with Conan O'Brien.
Right.
And the White Stripes.
Oh, awesome.
And so I had to do that the day of the callback, and I was on set there, and they said, you booked it. Nice. And then, you know, you do it a month later, and it's one of those kind of things where people will stop you for the rest of your life and say, hey, did I see you on some episode? Yeah.
Well, you know, that was, you know, being a little person, of course, you're on The Sopranos. I think you were the only little person ever cast in the whole, you know, 7, 8 seasons, whatever. I mean, you literally, because, I mean, I watched every episode.
Yeah.
They wanted me from day one. They wanted me, and I wasn't an actor.
Ah.
You know?
You would have been great as one of the guys in the crew.
What it was supposed to be was I was supposed to be Uncle Junior's bodyguard. That's what we had talked about, and I did not. But they didn't talk to me, and they had talked to my agent at the time, and they were not giving up any info. I'm like, I don't sing Sopranos. I don't get it. And this is true story. My wife to this day she bitches at me for a little bit. I was going to Bananas in Poughkeepsie to do a gig, and they're like, they really want to meet with you, blah, blah, blah. So, well, I can meet Monday. I go, no, they need you to meet today. You have to cancel your gig. Turn around. I go, I'm not an actor. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about acting. I don't know how to act. They go, no, there's a lot of big stars. And I go, what's it about? All they would have had to do just say the mafia. Just say anything. I'd have been down, right? Like, I mean, how do you not? You know, that's how many... Like Vinny Pastor, you know, Big Pussy. He hates to be called that. But all those guys, that's how you get your start. You're like, you're the mob guy or you're the cop, you know. But there was nothing. They were like clear, non-disclosure. They would give me nothing. You just have to go meet. And I'm like, I'm a comedian. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
So then they made me jump through hoops for a good couple seasons. And they would bring me in. For every season, maybe 3-4 times, and never cast me. And they cast me on my 10th time. And my 9th time, I did my scene. And
what was it, Meredith Tucker?
Well, it was Meredith, but it was she was the assistant. It was Georgianne Walken, and she had loved me. She loved me. She wanted me on since day one. And she goes, wow, Jimmy, that was really great. And I go, you know what, Meredith, Georgianne, doesn't matter if it was great. Thank you. I appreciate, because they're like, call back tomorrow, Astoria, what's the studio?
Silver Cup.
They go, call back tomorrow. I said, so you know what? It doesn't matter if I get the job. I just want to come back and see you guys next week, because that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And she goes, no callback. And I go, seriously? She goes, no callback. We love you. So I go, and I get the callback. I do it, and I'm like, freaking out about it. Like I said to my wife, I said, she's my girlfriend, I said, I'm not gonna get it. It's not gonna happen. I don't think it's gonna happen, because I think I opened my big mouth and now I'm done. And then sure enough, boom, they call. So I actually booked 3 episodes. That's what was the plan. And then when I got to the table read, they were like, have you ever had that happen? Like, you get there and they're like,
back.
Yeah.
Boardwalk, that happened all the time.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be in all these other lines. I'm, you know, I show up, the table read, and there's all this stuff about how, hey, you're gonna, we're gonna, you know, I was supposed to get shot in season two.
I remember you told me you were gonna be Lucky Luciano's buddy or something. You were something.
No.
Because you were the boxing, the head of the boxing
well, I was Buscemi's friend on the show, you know, kind of. But it never really, like, developed as much as they said originally in season one it was going to be.
Right.
Like, in the script, it was like, blah, 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 who will come to know as his friend and all this stuff.
Right.
But in season two, Buscemi, the only time he ever gets shot, he gets shot in season two.
Right.
And it was supposed to hit him in the hand, go through his hand, and hit me in the leg. I'm actually not supposed to say that, probably.
Right.
But the,
right. Well, it doesn't matter.
But now it's done. Yeah. Anyways, but they cut it. They cut all that. I still was in it earlier in the episode, but there was a whole other thing where I'm supposed to get
shot.
Did
they ever have, because I never seen, like, the DVDs, like, the cut footage, you know, on, so like, movies when they have the additional footage.
Well,
that would be great.
Yeah, well, they never shot it. They never shot it because the whole problem was they said, look, we got time issues. You know, it's like, we'd love to do this, but this day, you know, instead of it being a 12-hour day, it could be a 22-hour day if we have to shoot the other side
right.
where you're getting shot now, too. And then we got to figure out how they bring you out, and there's a whole giant club scene. And they're like, it's just too much. We can't do that. It's not about you. It's about, you know.
Right.
Budget and time.
Right.
Well,
right.
Jimmy, you know the story for me. I just did like what do they call that when you're just like a core background. I was an ambulance guy on Boardwalk, so they
put
me
nice.
Just, you know, like I didn't have a line, but you know they'd say, oh, we just need you to drive the. So they said you drive stick, and I go yeah no problem. I never drove stick before, so I call up Jimmy and guy. I go, how do you drive stick?
Yeah,
I don't know how to. And they go, oh, watch YouTube, and I'm watching, and I get there, and they go, oh, we're going to have a guy just do a lesson with you. He goes, because people are going to be walking in front of you while you're driving. And I start getting nervous. And then I get, and like for people who don't realize, the show, what was it, 1920s?
Uh-huh.
The stick is on the left side. So I was in my head practicing on the right, and I'm like, oh, I'm a righty. I can't. So now the stick's on the left, the clutch, everything's. So they just. The guy never shows up. I don't get a lesson. I don't get nothing. They go, all right, we're going to do it. And I go, are they going to be walking? He goes, yeah, just do it slow. And then I ended up just going, nah, we're running out of time. We're just going to have you, like, you're stopping. You're just pulling up, and then you get out of the car, help the guy out. You know, that. But I was like, shh. But it was, but I was supposed to be the only person in the scene for, you know, driving, and I thought it'd be kind of cool, and then it.
Yeah, we had this one episode. We're doing night shoots, and you know some of the stuff, man. The longest set days of my life, you know, 20-hour days, in the pilot, 21-hour day.
Jeez.
And the, I know my meal penalties on that were better than like
how did they even? I mean, I think the most I've ever did is 16, 17 hours, but it's not like. We're right back the next morning. Like, usually I think there's the SAG
so
rule.
We did it on a Friday. So it was a Friday night, and it just went, you know, my call time was like 7 a.m. We went to like 4 or something in the morning.
Did you have to work Saturday?
No. It was done for the, you know.
So you were done.
So they knew it.
So they had
like,
the weekend. That's why it was like the craziest.
Right.
Because that was like the boxing sequence,
right.
And they had to do all this stuff, and Scorsese was directing it, so it was like crazy. But he likes doing everything a million times.
Right.
But there was one scene, too, where we were outside and one of those old-timey cars, the same kind of thing. They had an extra in one of the cars.
Right.
Yeah, we'll throw him in. Doesn't matter. And this is
right.
He crashes it into another thing, and there's smoke, all this stuff. And they're like, what the hell are you doing having this guy drive? You know, it's crazy.
So what the people don't know is that Tim actually was supposed to run you over,
kill you,
instead of the
I'll
alternate...
take the stump on
instead of the alternate shot from Steve Buscemi's hand.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cool. So, is that, you think, your best experience as an actor? I mean, I know you went to Costa Rica. That was pretty cool to be in the jungle.
Yeah, I did that in the jungle.
Chickens and all that
was awesome. That was fun. Yeah, I mean, I got the... That's the cool thing
chickens
about...
Chickens in the jungle?
Yeah. I was holding, a prize cockfighter.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I swear to God. I'm holding it. Like, this chicken. They're like, yeah.
That thing's fucking huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, this wasn't a baby chicken. This is like, we're talking about a full-on killer. I mean, this thing is like...
Is it big as the one from Seinfeld when Kramer had a little Jerry?
Well, I started talking to...
Jerry.
I started talking to the guy, and the guy goes, this is a prize cockfighter.
Oh, shit.
You get... It's, you know, they have it. They make all this money on it. I'm holding it.
They're big. I mean, so he had his, did he have his feet with the knife and stuff or no? Like when you had him, did they have him wrapped with like a rubber band?
No, they didn't have any.
They put knives in their feet.
Oh, yeah, they didn't do that.
So they, ripped the other chicken.
Thank God, otherwise I wouldn't want to hold it with the knife.
I mean, did he scratch it?
No. I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, some of the stuff. You know, when you're 21, you do it. You're like, who cares? I'll do whatever.
You're like,
you know?
No, it's a Shakespearean.
What is this, Hazard?
Fucking chicken.
Hazard. No, I feel like
he trained at American Academy of Dramatic Arts only for 6 months.
Yeah.
If you look up the chicken's bio, you'll see.
The chicken was actually Daniel Day-Lewis.
But especially, though, when you're starting out, you just do anything. You're like, oh, it's fine. I'll be, you know.
Yeah, but they flew you out there, so it was low pay.
Yeah, it was a low budget movie, but
they flew
still
you
pretty
out.
Good, you know.
And
it
they tested you as an actor. Here, hold my cock.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Me?
Yeah.
So you're out there, because I don't like to do. I was supposed to do this movie with Lance Henriksen, and it was like, Jesus. Did you ever see Hostel?
Yeah.
Right. So like that type of an area, like where they're like Bratislava, you know, like this like Eastern European thing. And I was, like, pretty scared about going there. And then I didn't end up doing the movie. And if you know who Lance Henriksen is, I mean, he's been in... You know who he is?
Sounds familiar.
He's a... Droid is, Droid does. He's the voiceover for Droid. He was in Terminator.
Oh,
he's
wow.
been in 300 movies, if you look up Lance Henriksen. Anyways, he's like, yeah. He goes, dude, we just go wherever we go. He's like, it doesn't matter. And I go... And he says, he's like, look, usually production doesn't want you to get hurt. Well, like, I think Richard Villa, he's gone to Mexico City, and now he's got, you know, a good following out there. But that's another scary thing. Like, these, like, my wife is Costa Rican, so I go to Costa Rica. We'll go, like, 1 month a year for 3 weeks or whatever it is. But I'm pretty scared of, like those kidnappings and
Costa
shit.
Costa Rica is safe. The reason why Costa Rica is safe is... All the gangsters from around the world, that's where they go and set up because there's no extradition.
Right.
So they don't, you know, you get kicked out of Switzerland or Mexico or whatever. You could just go there. So you got guys that are like, I mean, you got real, you know, the real bad guys live there.
Yeah.
So that kind of keeps everything in check where people, and the people, as you know, from being there, are like the friendliest people in the world.
Well, no, they're really nice. But see, so here's the thing. So me and her cousins... it was a couple months ago, so we're in Costa Rica, and we're at this bar, and everything's great, and her cousin got too drunk, so he didn't, he was going to bring us home, and I got, he goes, no, I can still drive, like, you know, like, no, fuck it, I'll get in the cab, so I get in the cab, and it's like the shadiest cab ever.
Yeah,
and
I got in some shady
so,
cabs.
So he picks us up, and he takes us, and we're staying at her parents' house, but it's, you know, it's about 20, 30 minutes away. And my wife speaks Spanish perfectly, so she's talking with him, and he says to her, this is the worst part of it. He says, you guys are lucky that you speak Spanish because you're with the gringo. That's what she said. He goes, I used to pick up gringos and bring them. He goes, I used to kidnap. He goes, you would be surprised, but they have a big kidnapping ring in Costa Rica that you don't know about. It's pretty insane.
I hope my fiance isn't listening because I want to go back to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
She gets paranoid over everything.
Still, be very careful. But and congratulations. You have a fiance?
Yeah, we're getting married in September.
Sweet.
I know. I do like to say fiance.
This is a very fun word to say. Fiance.
Are you going to do a big wedding here or like are you going to go to Philly? Or?
No, we're doing it in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Is that where she's from?
Her dad's from there. You know, I'm from New Haven in New York.
Oh, okay.
New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So my family lives in Connecticut and New York.
Oh, okay.
But she grew up in Colorado and in Minnesota.
Was it cheaper to get married in New Orleans?
Cheaper. I mean, we were looking at stuff here. It'd be like in the valley, you know, like a crappy place.
30, was, 50 grand?
Yeah, like that. We're spending less, and we're doing at one of the the nicest restaurant in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And it's good. Like, I mean, the stuff is like just night.
It's such cheaper. A memorable place.
Plus, it's like everybody in my family is going to have to fly all the way to L.A. Her family, her mom's from St. Louis, her dad's from New Orleans. We're like, you know what? For the, you know, it's mostly going to be just family there and anyways. So we're like, we might as well just do it out there.
Yeah. Who's your best man?
My buddy Clint. He's a little person. I don't know if you ever met him. He's the funniest guy in the world.
No, I don't know.
He's not a comic.
You don't usually bring around any little. You're like, I'm the only little guy here.
Yeah, exactly.
and then who's the other one? Are you cool with most little yeah. people? Like with Brad Williams?
You're cool with? Yeah, we're cool. For a long time.
You know, I was watching an old tape of you, doing stand up and I was kind of like, you know, I get mad at someone. Like, I was kind of mad at you because you hadn't been doing stand up. You hadn't been focusing. And I didn't know what that's like to pull out. And I see that you started popping around and doing it again. So I was glad. You know, that's why I was like, that's why I hit you up that day. I was like, hey, what are you doing, man? You're doing stand up again. I see your face. Like, because I watched you at, what was the black show in Philly? The Laugh House. So yeah, there's a tape of you.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah, it's like
that. Years ago. It's me and Dion Cole. We had our own little special.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
DVD special. And then you know what's funny? Kevin Hart did the tape in the same. Me and Dion Cole did one taping. The next day was Kevin Hart.
Oh wow.
And now it's like you look at some of these guys and they're all like,
you know,
I've always been doing stand up, but the problem is, you know, like out here. Start to write, you start getting on all these things, you start producing, you start doing all these other things in life. And instead of doing it every night, now you're doing it once a week, once every other week.
Right.
And you can't really be doing that. You got to be either on the road or really grinding. And, you know, it's tough.
And
man.
How was that like? I remember, were you hurt? Like you used to ride the little scooter around or whatever?
Yeah.
Were you hurt? Is that why? Or you just were like, New York's so big, I got to ride the scooter
around. No, you know, I've always had a hard time getting around. You know, my legs, I had a lot of surgery when I was a kid.
Okay.
Two body casts, all that stuff. So I never could.
Body casts.
Yeah, complete reconstructive surgery. So I've never been able to walk far distances. Actually, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand longer than 30 seconds.
Right.
So, but with the city, I had my scooter. I would just go... pop it right on or off.
Right.
I'm on the subway.
Yeah, I remember. I see that stand up New York.
I could do like six spots in the night, you know.
So now you're here in LA, you got to learn how to ride a skateboard.
Well, yeah. Now, you know, I just got a car. That's the problem. You know, you drive everywhere.
And you got your car, I mean, because you're, what is your height?
3'10".
So 3'10". So do you have it hooked up so you can drive? I never seen.
Yeah, I have pedal extensions.
Okay.
And, you know, that's it.
Do they have. Cause I remember I almost bought the Nissan Sentra. It was like really souped up, but I could drive it from the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It had buttons, like I could go accelerate,
handles and stuff like that.
Everything's
the same. All you know, I just my seat's a little closer, and then probably too close, and then beyond that, I just have pedal extensions, and I just hook my feet right in.
I don't know if it was it Dustin or someone that used to drive fast or something or.
It's funny, all these comic friends that got like the seat, they got the joke I know about and then the joke I don't know about.
Right.
You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Hey, remember that time he's climbing out of the bed and he's, what? What?
Oh,
what happened?
Oh.
Anyways, you know, and that being a little person out in the business, do you think that helps you or hurts you?
You know, I got to say that I think it helped me a lot in the beginning. I mean, I did The Sopranos. I was 22, you know, and it's like, you know, to get that audition, to be able to get in there, and I had no credits. It's tough to get, like, big auditions like that when you're starting out. And so I was able to get on some stuff right away that I think people that wouldn't be a little person would be harder for them to get those auditions. Now, you know, I've been, you know, like almost 50 TV shows and movies.
Right.
And it's like now it's harder to get auditions because they're not going to let me just play the mechanic or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's very disenfranchised where it's like, we want you to be the little guy. Hey, we got a thing. It's this little person's friend. Or,
right.
You know,
I remember you called me and you told me you dyed your hair for Danny McBride to play. And then they go with a fucking Indian.
I know.
It's like season of in Mexico.
Oh, you were going to be the...
He killed the audition. They loved him.
They loved me.
And they go with the Indian from fucking the Oompa Loompa guy.
But I'll tell you what, I was like, man, that's an opportunity. When I get opportunities, I got. I dye my hair black. I hire a makeup chick. I go, dye my hair black. I go into my buddy works in a, you know, he sells fish in a warehouse. I go hang out with him, and everyone there is Mexican. Everyone's from Mexico. Right. So I go, teach me how, you know, how would Mexicans say this? I'm learning, like, additional things in Spanish, like all Mexican slang. I go in there, and I'm like, hey, what's up, home? You know, what's going on? How are you guys? You know, I'm really getting into it. I didn't get it, but, you know, I was like, I got to go all out.
You know, Joey Diaz, you know Joey, right? Yeah. So Joey told me before, because he goes, he said to me, he goes, Jimmy, you're a fucking great actor. He's like, but he goes, they don't give a shit. He goes, when we go in, even him, he's like, he goes, when we go in and we get the call back, it means nothing. They got to give someone a call back. He goes, they don't even want us. He goes, they've already got a fucking offer. They've already got a fucking offer out for some cocksucker. Like, you know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Well, that's where it was. You know what I mean? And it took me a long time to learn that. You know what I mean?
It's the hard part where it's like a couple things.
Only. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten every once in a while, I've gotten a part where there's like a name only in my manager's like, hey, man, they did not find name only. They want to see you. And then I go in and book, and I'm like, what the fuck? I should have got this. This thing was written for me. It's almost like a sketch artist is looking, and they're writing my breakdown.
I know.
And you're like, how the fuck? You know, and then who's the guy? Man, he's been up for me, every pilot out here, and he always books it. And I'm not saying he's not good. Greg Grunberg.
I don't know.
In Heroes, and... he's J.J. Abrams' boy. He's in every J.J. Abrams thing. So, and then there was the big Adam Sandler show. So I go up for that, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get this. And they're like, oh, no, we've got the offer out for him. I'm like, well, he's great, but none of his shows last. Like, let's give somebody a shot.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know,
man.
So you just keep
trying. That's why I always do my own thing, too.
Right.
I'm always, you know, producing my own projects and helping other people. And
you used to do those cell phone videos,
mm-hmm.
right? Did you have a deal with them? Or what was the company?
Oh, I used to have this company, Instant Gratification Entertainment. We would do stuff for, like, Sony and Universal. So we would do little web series to promote other shows or products. And, yeah, we'd get a deal, like, on a case-by-case, you know, pay us to do stuff. And now I just do, you know, I've done some couple low-budget features, TV projects. Now I just kind of, like, you know, I get into the hire gun producing, too. People will hire me, help me, you know. I help them make their projects look a little better, you know.
Right.
People that don't have access to some of that stuff. And then, you know, beyond that, just a hire gun comic actor, you know.
Right, right.
You know, the world of freelance, we're always looking for that, you know, hey, what's going on? We're dancing split, you know, plate spinners, you know what I mean?
We can do that.
So as when you're laying in your full body cast as a little boy, do you want to be an actor?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think when I was, you know, the first time around, I was like, I thought I was going to play for the Giants, you know, you know, think about it.
Right.
Reality and life. And then
I go even further.
I'm like, I want to be an actor, and that's almost just as crazy. But you don't think about that either.
Right. Well, cool. So, and that's the thing. Like, every time I see you as a little person, I always like, you're so handsome. You have this great look. Like, a lot of times, like, you know, you go against the little the ball guy, right? The Pirates guy.
He's
like mean looking. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. But he's got that mean look. And you're just like, kind of like, you could be like a model. Did you ever do any modeling or anything like that?
Nah.
No?
I mean, I've been on shoots.
I'm hitting on you.
No one could see. Right now, he's holding my hand.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and that's how I got into business, the look. They were like, hey, that's the look for Soprano. You know, they wanted
the look, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's... And what about, like, so you did this thing with Mo Mandel, Eric Griffin, and Tasha, all them. So, and you said you produced that, Jealous Dudes?
Yeah, they had other guys that were other producers, but, I mean, Mo, he's a great writer.
Right.
I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
funny actor, but his writing is unbelievable. So I read it, I go, man, well, let me help you do it. You know, I had just done something with me and Danny Aiello, and we did all this stuff, a pilot. We had Alec Baldwin as an executive producer. We got it. We did everything from start to finish, and he was like, man, this looks great. And I was able to get a lot of other people to help out. And so basically I was like, look, Mo, I believe in you. I want to try to help. So we put this together, and he was pitching it. He got kind of far with it, but it's just a great standalone short film too. So
right. So is it in the festivals and stuff, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was gonna submit it somewhere, but it was on Funny or Die. You could see it go to Jealous Dudes and Funny or Die, and you could see it. It's really funny.
Yeah. I just talked to him yesterday. Mo Mandel, extremely talented writer. You're gonna see a lot from Mo.
Now, do you notice like when you perform? You're getting more people. Obviously, you say get people recognize you on the street, but do you find people now coming to see you perform more? And
you know, I mean, sometimes it doesn't always translate. Like stuff you do as an actor doesn't really. I feel like now there's just so much stuff out there.
Yeah,
there's so many movies and TV shows. It's like I don't know how anybody. I think it was different before our time. Or if you were on a show, you know, you did a couple episodes on a big show. You know, in the early 90s or whatever. Oh, my God, everybody. This is... Now there's 100 networks.
Yeah.
People forget every 2 seconds. Oh, my cousin's on a web series. And what are you going on? Who are you? You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta keep just creating and whatever. Mm. I mean, people will be like, hey, I do recognize you from something. But you gotta almost remind people.
You're that guy. Yeah. You're like, I was that. So how's social networking working out for you? Do you feel a difference?
You know, I mean, I'll get hit up by random people, you know, but I'm not the best on Twitter. I just don't tweet, really. You know, I do a little bit, but yeah, I liked Facebook more. That's where I knew more people, so.
Right, yeah.
But some of that stuff, you know, now my Instagram and stuff too, but there are people that I know are just killing it, and they, you know, you got to be committed to really tweeting and doing all these things a couple times a day. And I'm like, you know, who wants to see me on the couch sometimes?
Yeah, exactly.
Sitting by the pool, you know?
Who is, who did you kind of start with on the East Coast that has really flourished? Like, who's really came up? I mean, of course, you know, I knew Kevin Hart, you knew Kevin Hart, you know what I mean? Not someone that maybe my fans don't know that you think is, like, extremely talented or something, that you kind of, like, your boy, you're like, oh, man, I'm really glad for this guy.
Well, Nate Bargatze, I mean, he's killing it right now.
He's really, you know?
I mean, we live together.
I just discovered him the other day.
We live really together, you know, in an apartment with Dustin and Rich. And,
oh, okay.
And, you know, me and Nate were
Aronovich.
Yeah. And so me and Nate were, I mean, we were literally living in a living room together. We had it was like a shanty town. We had sheets like guarding us, you know, young 20s.
Couch?
You know. No, we had our own, we had beds.
Oh.
But it was like almost like we were in like an army tent.
Like you know, were, we had like, a, like you were Asian.
Yeah, we had like, it was just covered by a giant sheet we had from the ceiling to the thing. So you couldn't come in unless you kind of went through, but there was no like actual doors. So... I mean, we became, you know, one of my best friends because we bonded and then...
Sure. We've seen each other naked.
I don't know if I've seen... Maybe we did. Nah. I don't think so. We had our own space. I mean, it was sheeted in. You know, we had it.
You're like it was a fort. We had little forts. Yeah,
we had a fort. But it was...
We set up forts around the house.
But it was funny. I mean, it was just like... It was ridiculous. I mean, for like a year, we did that.
And
that
it's funny how, because like a lot of... I guess new comics, too, they hear about how established comics like yourself and have you lived with other comics? Was it like as fun as it would seem, or does it get crazy?
It was one of the most fun times of my life, you know, thinking back at that, you know, because of the fact that we were just, you know, Rich and Dustin had their own rooms and Nate and I were both, you know, 21 or 23 or whatever, so we didn't care. And but it was the most fun time because we would do everything together. We were out every night till 4 a.m. You know, we did the Boston every night. Right, this is right when the Boston closed, became the Village.
Boston was my home. It was like every night.
But we would go there. We'd go downstairs, have a beer, the Bag It In. Mm-hmm. You know, it was our. And then we'd do all these other the Village Lantern. Amy Schumer was doing the Village Lantern. She was barking. You know, I don't know if she was barking, but she was always at the Village Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Now some of these guys you see, I mean, Schumer's like huge now.
Yeah, Schumer's huge. You know, that has a lot to do with, you know, like management. You know, someone that just like is like, you're amazing, Amy. I'm going to make you a huge star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
and she's great. You know, and then Kurt Metzger. You know, here's Kurt. A guy who, you know, I've known Kurt. And I remember when he came with, like, Kevin Hart, Big J, and they all came to New York, and Keith Robinson was, you know, helping those guys. And it was like, you would never think with Kurt that he was going to become, like, a huge writer. I mean, he writes for the Amy Schumer show. But I remember, like, watching him and going, hey, you know, he can write. And his stand-up was, you know, he was a newer stand-up, but he would just get up there and really go. And now he's like a huge writer, and he's a friend, and he's a great guy, and I'm happy for I'm always happy for people. Sometimes I'm never bitter about nobody.
That's the thing. I mean, people. I hate when people get bitter and they're mad. Well, why isn't it me?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, work harder. You know,
Work harder. Yeah.
I mean, you got to ultimately. It's like now there's no excuses. You can always get up. I mean, with Schumer, she got her way in. Last Comic Standing kind of helped her, and then she did the roast. And so it's like a lot of that was all her, you know, generating that.
Of course. Yeah, no, she was hustling. She was respected. You know, being a woman comic, it's just a million times harder.
And she helped out all those other chicks. You know, they're hilarious. Rachel, you know, Feinstein.
Yeah, Rachel Feinstein. Yeah, yeah. Sure, I know Rachel.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I didn't know Nikki Glaser, but I know who she is.
I knew Nikki from out here.
Oh, okay.
And she was always funny and cool, I thought. Nice.
You know what's funny, because we mentioned this in another podcast, like a place like the Boston Comedy Club was a kind of a shitty little place, sometimes would be empty.
But the guys that came out of
it was such a great,
Louis C.K.
It was such a breeding ground, such a great room.
Chappelle.
Yeah, Chappelle, all those guys, every night they would, you know, all these guys. And the funny thing is when it closed, what was the name of the new place, like that real
Village Underground.
I don't want to mention the comic owner's name, but I'd walked in, and you know they just turned it over, so the show didn't start. I was always welcome into Boston. I'd walk in, you know, say hello and hang out, and then so I walk in just to see they redecorated, and the new guy goes.
Mention his name.
PJ. I don't want to say it. PJ Landers. So he goes,
you got it now. Now you're on the hook.
Well, it doesn't matter. Fuck him. No, I don't like.
Car.
No, I've been.
Is your car?
He's been
your car locked out there. What?
No, he's been nice to me since, but because my ex, he used to book my ex. But so he goes, the show hasn't started. We haven't opened the doors yet. I said, oh, you know, I was just a regular here. I used to come, and I just wanted to see. He goes, I don't give a fuck. I just said to show it. Like, he started yelling at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I never went back.
Tim's like the old guy at fucking Rockefeller Center. I used to be on Saturday Night Live as a writer.
Yeah.
He's the old guy walking around a walker.
He's a comic. I'm a comic. Yeah. And I go, oh, yeah, I used to perform here. He goes, I don't give a fuck. The show, I didn't open the door yet. Get out. All right. Okay. Oh, yeah. I never went back.
Yeah. I loved that place. He was always cool to me, too, PJ. But I get it. He
you know,
was,
yeah.
he
I don't even high. Know him. I don't even know him, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're gonna fight him?
No, I mean, he's been nice to me since. But, like, that time, you're like, what the fuck?
Well, you know what? It's because, you know, I love Tim. He's like my little brother. But sometimes Tim, he doesn't know when to gauge a situation. So many times he'll call me and go, yeah, I just put my foot in my mouth. I shouldn't have. You know, like he's always, almost every day with that phone call. So I'm sure, I don't know what you did.
No, I understand.
If these guys, I never ran a room. But if you're setting up a room, you're setting up a room. You're
no, it was.
I used to be a comic.
No, it was one of those things that in your head you go, oh, I know this guy. He's a comic. He'll know me. And,
yeah.
And then he goes, I don't give a fuck. I go, okay, all right, maybe I made the mistake.
You know, we just had an issue with Tim. Tim started with Kevin James, Gary Valentine, Adam Ferrara. So we're having pizza. Have you had pizza? My favorite place is Joe's.
No. Where?
Joe's Pizza. It's right up here.
Oh, nice.
It's like being in, it's the closest you're going to get to New York. It's right here in the mall. Right?
Yeah.
Right here in Sherman Oaks. So we're there, and I had just had Rajiv Sadial. You know him? Mm-hmm. He toured with Russell Peters. He's a phenomenal Indian comic from Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
So I had him on, and he's got a hit one-man show. Great dude. So I have Rajiv on, and we go. And I go, hey, there's Gary Valentine. Tim, why don't you go say hi? He's like, Tim.
Well, so
Tim,
let me tell him, because I've been telling Rajiv and these guys. I say, yeah, I started with Kevin and Gary. I used to hang out with them. I used to do all, you know, we were an improv group together. And Jimmy's like, oh, he's right there. Go talk to him. And in my head, I go, he's going to be so excited. I haven't seen him since before King of Queens. So I go, hey, Gary, how's it going? He goes, how you doing? Like, he has no clue.
Like, Tim's a crazy fan.
So I go, Tim Mahomiune, I used to do, I was in the improv group with you, East Side Comedy. Like, I mentioned names. Richie Minervini, Kevin. He goes, oh, good, yeah. Okay. And I was like, all right, good talking to you. All right. Yeah.
So Tim comes back, and we could see the body language. And you could just see Tim melting the more he spoke. He's like, yeah, so I was in Long Island. We did. Adam Ferrara, we...
Yeah, in my head, I go, he's going to give me a hug.
Going down.
Hey, how you doing, Tim? Good to see you. Let me buy you a slice. He's like, okay. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And when was this? Like 95?
That was the last time I saw him. But
I don't know if Norton ever did this bit, but Norton told me this story years ago. And it reminds me of that story of Norton is on the plane. He's not famous yet. He's not opening Anthony. He's did it every once in a while. But like now he has his own. You know, he's on the Opie and... Norton show, right? Mm-hmm. So he's on the plane with 50 Cent, and he's sitting there.
I believe it's 50.
Yeah, he's with 50 Cent, right?
50.
All right. Is it?
Wiggity.
All right. so he's
actually, now it's Curtis Jackson.
Yeah, right?
Now it's exactly. He's Curtis.
Yeah, look at that. Because he's an actor, right? So he's on the plane with them, and Norton, I don't know if you know, Norton would always get autographs of people. So he'd get autographs.
I think
autographs.
He still does.
Yeah. He's pretty insane about that. So he would get autographs. So he's sitting there and he goes, he plays it in his head. Like, he pretends he's handicapped. So he can, like, sit next to him in first class, next to 50 Cent, and they become buddies. And they're hanging out and they're laughing and this and he goes, yeah, and I do stand up and I think he's like playing like he's handicapped, like Norton. And he's like, I can't break character now and whatever. And they become buddies, they exchange numbers, what's it called, wants to come to a show. 50, he's like, oh my God. He goes, our kids are gonna hang out, we're gonna be barbecuing, like he's making this whole thing. And then, you know, Norton, I don't know if the right word is like a womanizer or whatever it is. So 50 Cent falls asleep and Norton's kind of like hitting on this girl. And like, I was like, yeah. So, you know, and he's like not talking slow or nothing like that. 50 Cent wakes up. He's like right in his face. Like, I thought you were like handicapped. He's like, oh, no. She's like, he's not heady. He's a sleazeball. So 50 Cent got him removed. It was such a great thing. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you remember. But yeah, he told me this story. It was such a great story.
That's funny. Yeah, he loves that. He loves that.
Yeah. What is, so you worked with Scorsese?
Mm-hmm. Right? It's been amazing.
How great was that? Was that a audition callback, or was that like audition? We want him.
Yeah, actually, well, they remembered me from The Sopranos. So right, Terrence, of course. Terrence Winter. Tim Van Patten. And so I auditioned, put myself on tape, and then I waited, you know, a month, 2 months, or however long it was, and then boom, I got it. So it was awesome.
Yeah, because I remember we were shooting that film, and then you go, hey man, you should be on. I go, the only episode Terrence Winter didn't do was mine. Rodrigo Garcia directed it, who's a famous director, but he didn't, you know, then Terrence Winter. So I had no connection to, other than Meredith Tucker. And it was really hard, like, to be in L.A. and get on that show.
I know.
Because you...
You had to be there.
Yeah, and then you did local hire there?
Mm-hmm.
So they would pay you scale or whatever it was, whatever you got paid. But you had to pay your flight?
I had to fly myself out there.
Hotel?
Uh-huh.
Or whoever?
No, I just stayed with comics.
Oh, so you were in New York.
You're back in the fort.
Were you in Jersey or Brooklyn? Where did they
New
film?
York. In New York. So I would just stay with comics in New York and then go film. Actually, my fiance. Then I met her, so I just would stay with her.
Oh, okay.
So it's like I had a place there.
Now, how grueling was it? Because you said you did 21 hours and the was a pilot or.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm sure in your head you're adding up. I know a lot of actors like the adding up money.
You start adding all these different overtime and all the different elements of it. So.
But did that, was there anyone snapping on the set? Because, I never heard of 21 hours.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. The, people were, everybody was in overtime. So everybody was kind of happy they were making cash, but people were just tired.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a boxing scene, and the guy that was a referee, he was an old boxer. He fought Muhammad Ali in the 60s.
Oh, shit.
And he had these lines, and he kept, it was like 4 in the morning now, or 3 in the morning.
He's fucking up.
So he keeps forgetting what to say. And,
right.
You know, there's 400 extras around the, so it was nerve-wracking. You felt bad for him, because he couldn't get it.
Right.
You know, and then.
Yeah, because I filmed a little scene in A Good Wife, and it was 16 hours, or it was 15 hours. And what happened was, Alan Cummings stepped on my glasses, and it caused us to stop and then and literally some of the, more like the crew, they started fighting, not physically, but they were really arguing, and they had to be separate, you know, and the tension, and people, that's when the guy goes, all right, let's just take a quick little break, see if we can get new glasses, you know. Like, but literally,
people get mad.
That was only 14, 15 hours, and they were starting to snap. Just 21 hours, I'm like, wow, somebody's, I guess. Cause
but it was for me 21 hours. Some of the guys, it probably wouldn't have been as long, because I had to go there earlier to do all kinds of
Some
of the guys in the crew were probably there 17 hours.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But because I had to go in, see, we all had to go to Steiner Studios, and then it was like a location almost an hour away in the city. Yeah. So it was like, some of the guys got to probably just go right there.
Yeah.
And then they didn't have to do the makeup or any of that stuff. And I had to, all this prosthetic too.
Oh, okay.
So that's what made it so long for me. They made my face, because it's a boxing scene.
Oh, yeah.
It looked
like
I was like, I got my face like mauled. Oh, and then we had training on right before. So it was just crazy long day.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have to go train to box?
I did that on my own, because I was like, man, you know what? These opportunities, you're not going to be able to work with a legend. I mean, so I did that. And then I just got into the sport, so boxing. I love boxing. Now I can't do it because I hurt my right arm. But actually, I was hanging with Russell Peters last night.
Oh, okay.
Improv, and I've boxed with him before too. Not him, but
right.
Hung out with him while he was with his trainer. I can't do it now because my right arm is all messed up.
Oh, okay. So you're out there. So, you know, I know you have a hero. You know, it's funny. This actually is kind of funny. Because of course he's passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Barty.
Yeah.
Billy
Barty. R.I.P.
I always ask my guest who's their man crush. So actually, he's and it has nothing to do with gay. It's
someone you
aspire to be. Billy Barty, right?
Yeah.
And Billy Barty is, you could tell my fans who he is.
So Billy Barty, he was a real famous little person. He started acting in silent films in. He was in all the Busby Berkeley movies where, you know, all the people would be going in a line where they'd go, you know, all the people would be like ice skating and doing all these things. And he was in the original Midsummer's Night Dream and all these movies in the silent films. And he acted from when he was 3 till he was 74. So 70 years acting in Hollywood, and he passed away. But along the way, he started Little People of America, did all this stuff, and he used to tour as like a vaudevillian comedian. And he would do, you know, Jimmy Durante impressions, mm-hmm. all these guys. And he was just an amazing performer. And beyond that, an amazing guy. And he had this really interesting life. So I wrote a script about him, you know, trying to get it made. I get some people interested in it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's my dream role to get to
play him.
I want to play Billy Barty.
Did you ever meet him?
I did. I got a picture with him. You know, he died when I was maybe 17 or 18. But I got a picture of him when I was 5 years old. I went to the first time to a Little People convention.
Oh.
And I'm 5 years old. I got, you know, I'm so happy to meet this guy.
Oh,
nice.
That's 5 years old. Wow.
And he's the guy that you mentioned when I looked up. It's one of those guys that go, oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I recognize him.
Yeah. You know what? It's a city full of guys, you know, that you say their name and you go, what? And then, you know, you look them up. Oh, I think I saw that guy. You see Billy Barty, and man, he's been in everything.
So memorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so memorable.
You know,
memorable.
I think the sad thing is that, you know, he passed away in, I think, 2000. So a lot of the guys now, people don't know who he is because he hasn't been in anything. You have to, you know, if you're 40 or over 40, you know who he is. But people my age and under, a lot of people don't, you know, they just weren't around for it.
Was he ever nominated for anything?
He should have been. He was in a movie called The Day in the Lotus, or, mm-hmm. And he was phenomenal, and people think that he should have been nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, that would have been wonderful.
W.C. Fields and me, he was great in that, too.
So, you know, as I go against the blue collar, the fucking Italians are like, oh, you know him, you know, do you guys audition? So who was kind of like, and I call them like my nemesis, even though, like, who's your nemesis? Like, who are you going up against all the time? You're like, hey, man, I hope you get it. If I don't get it, you get it. You know what I mean?
Well, Peter Dinklage is on Game of Thrones. I mean, he doesn't audition anymore. He just gets parts. He's not even going for little people parts. He's just, I mean, people are getting him. He's at that Paul Giamatti stage. And, right. You know, he's, let's get him. And then they get the movie around. You know, I say Paul Giamatti because he's not necessarily like the, you know, the sex symbol, but he's a great, you know,
right.
He's just a great actor, and he gets whatever role that they want him for. So when I was, you know, 10 years ago, or, you know, even 7 years ago, I was up for parts. I mean, he would still get it, but they would still see other people.
So you'd see him at the auditions?
No, I never saw him.
Have you ever met him?
Nope. I've talked to him on the phone, actually.
So he knows you.
Kind of.
So he knows who you are. So is he a nice guy like that?
Yeah. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor. But then there's a, you know, another group of guys. There's some of my best friends have been on, you know, that we've, I toured the world with a play, Dollhouse. We went 5 continents with one of the guys. Mm-hmm. And he works all the time. He was on an NBC show. Are you there? Chelsea. You know, we did Boardwalk together. We did a lot of stuff together.
He was like, was he the bartender on Are You There, Chelsea, or something that? Yeah, he was.
So
he's
we
funny.
Worked.
He's got dark hair.
Uh huh. And then Danny Woodburn, who's another. That was Mark Bovinelli. Danny Woodburn.
See, Danny Woodburn at the fucking Trader Joe's.
Yeah. He's one of my really good friends. We're going to the track on Saturday, actually, all of us.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're going to Santa Anita.
I might go. I just went this week. I just won. Yeah. I actually went. It was slow this week. So my wife was like, she's like, want to go? So we invited a comedian. You know, Little Rob? He, you ever do the Laugh Factory on a Sunday, the Long Beach, the Latino show?
No, I want to do it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, Benny Mena books it. Benny Mena. Huh. Great. It's a great show. So Billy Barty, that's your goal, of course.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing, like, producing? Are you producing anything right now that you're, like,
yeah, actually, I'm doing this girl's short film. She's the first female combat veteran ever. She served in Iraq and Afghanistan. She's directing, and she's in the AFI Women's Directing Program.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of big people a part of it, you know, and it's an amazing project. So if anyone's listening, you're interested in it, her name's Rebecca Murga. She's got a GoFundMe, or not a GoFundMe, an Indiegogo, mm-hmm. a GoFundMe, like she's sick.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden now she's sick. No, but it's a great project called American Girl, about a girl coming from Guatemala, and she's trying to sneak into the country, and then she becomes a Marine later in life, because a lot of Marines, when she was in Iraq and Afghanistan, mm-hmm. weren't citizens, but you could become a citizen if you fight in the Marines, and a lot of people died. 50 people died that weren't even, you know, citizens trying to become citizens. Wow. So it's a great project, and we're gonna turn that into a feature too.
I just did a film. It starred Harry Lennox. You know Harry Lennox. Mm-hmm. Harry Lennox. The guy who's coming in. Gerald. Oh my God. Gerald Sayles. She has Gerald Prescott Sayles. She's on Ray Donovan. She wrote the movie and directed it.
Oh wow.
It's called Stand Down Soldier, and it's winning a lot of awards right now. They just screened it. So it's about a woman who does a couple of tours of Iraq, and she gets raped.
Oof.
Repeatedly, yeah. Every time, and she's and has to, like, work with her band of brothers who are, she's fucking raped. It's pretty fucked up.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? So that's amazing. I wouldn't understand that a woman could be from Guatemala and then end up in the Marines here. Like, that's
yeah. There's
unique.
There's a lot of people that, because if you fight in the military, you'll especially during the war, we needed a lot more soldiers. You could become, if you fought for the U.S. Army or Marines, you become a citizen. But some of these people are fighting and dying for the U.S. and they're not even citizens yet.
Right.
So it's a pretty intense story. And then I got a couple other projects in the works.
Definitely want you to plug anything. Your website, you have a website, anything?
Yeah, nicknovicki.com. It's out of date. Yeah, N-I-C, Novicki. It's out of date, though. It says check them on this Boardwalk Empire this fall. It's been off the air.
Right.
You know, I gotta track that down. But, you know, I'm doing shows all the time. I'm at the Ice House tonight. I'm at the Comedy Store tomorrow.
Okay. Are you a regular at the Comedy Store now?
You know what? I'm not. I'm in the craziest I ever. I did a weekend at the
La Jolla.
At La Jolla, and you know they paid me good money, you know, and it was, you know, Tommy was telling me, oh, you're passed. Don't worry, mm-hmm. I got you. And then this time he's like, look, you're officially passed. I just gotta, you know, at the ceremony you'll do it and all that stuff. And then he gets fired, and then now I'm. So now I still get Adam, development spots. I still get all stuff, but you know, I've been doing comedy 14 years. 50 TV shows, movies. I mean, what do you want? You know, so it's like,
right.
Eventually, you know, I just like to perform. I like the club. I like hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little annoying, the process, but it's a great place. And yeah, you know.
Well, good, good. You're out there doing your thing. So
I'm doing a military tour in October too. So
who are you going with?
Mark Saratella, Johnny Cardinelli, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, I know all them. I like Johnny, Mark, the whole thing. Yeah, I always do the Comedy Juice for Mark and in New York and as well. As in, I did he emceed.
Oh, Pechanga.
When I was at Pechanga.
Nice.
So yeah, Mark did. And then when I headlined at the Dirty at 12:30. Have you ever did that in Vegas?
No.
That's the best. It's the best show. And him and Adam Ray did a spot there. It's the best show. It's ran by Gabe Lopez, and it's Ralphie May's show. It's called The Dirt, you know, but it's Gabe Lopez's, but it was The Dirty at 12:30. It just gets filthy. Greg Wilson does it. I do it. Jeff Garcia, DJ Cooch. You go to Vegas, you have to do it. So it's on a Friday night at 12:30 a.m. at the South Point Casino. It's the fun. Like, I was headlining, and Voss came in. Voss did a guest set.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, because
he... I love Voss.
Yeah. Well, yeah, me and Richie have been good friends for years. I'll probably see him.
He killed the Rogan show the other day. It was hilarious.
On the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was telling stories about him and Norton, like, having threesomes with this black chick in Central Park. It was the weirdest shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's...
That crew has some of the craziest stories, those Norton, like the Boston Comedy Club, that kind of...
He said he was getting blown, and he looks over, and Norton was eating her ass.
Yeah.
He was getting blown.
Norton loves that,
just
all that crazy
there,
stuff.
Like, man, he's disgusting.
He's icky. Norton, you're icky. yeah, it was good to see on Louis this week, my buddy. I never would have became an actor if Florentine didn't vouch for me and get me an acting class. And killed it. Did you see him?
No.
He was on Louis this week. Oh man, he's the guest star.
I love
star.
Florentine.
Dude. Yeah, you fucking cocksucker.
Yeah, I love how deep his voice is.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, he got
Did
me
you
in...
see a photo of him from back in the day when
jamming.
He had long hair?
Jamming Jim. He had long hair. Like a rock and roll.
You see it. Sometimes you see it at like a comedy club and you see it. You're like, what
is
the
fucking
hell
Dokken or fucking Jim Florentine? Well, he's like him and my boy Don Jameson. They are the kings of like metal. They have their own show on like VH1 or MTV.
I got a funny Florentine story that we did a City Steam together, and we go to this. He brings two girls. There's an ugly one and a hot one, so I have to take care of the ugly one. So we go to the nightclub, and he's really excited. Says thanks so much, you know, with his deep voice, and then we're leaving to go. You know, he's taking her back to his room. And I'm whatever, just hanging out. So he tells the hot one, hey, did you guys enjoy the show, my show? And the hot one goes, yeah, it was all right. He goes, what do you mean it was all right? Yeah, it was okay. He goes, then go fuck yourself, you fucking pigs. Fuck you. And, yeah. And I go, you waited 2 hours? Why couldn't you ask him before we went to the nightclub? I'm sitting with this ugly girl for 2 hours. And then he waits.
Nah, you know, that's... people don't know. I want my audience to know this, too. Like, you know, they don't get it. It's like you're on a show and you do good or you're funny. It doesn't matter. You know, keep your opinions to yourself. You can go home and post about it or whatever the fuck you want to do. Don't tell us to our faces. We're human beings.
No,
like,
I know.
It's like, look, if everyone's laughing, I'm getting applause breaks, and then you come up, yeah, you weren't my cup of tea. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's...
Why tell me? I want to fucking stab you. Why would you talk to another human being like that?
I know, man. It's
brutal. You know what I mean?
Brutal.
But it's just insane.
Oh, yeah. The best is... Jerry Red Wilson, I was emceeing, and it was, I forget who the feature was. So this old lady comes up, Jerry, you were so funny, and I think it was Joe Starr. You were very good, and then she comes to me, and I thought I did really well. She goes, don't worry, you'll get him sometime. And I'm like, what? I thought I did. What the hell?
I had a guy, when I first started, I had opened for this guy. He's probably dead now. I don't know. You know, I started over, you know, 24 years ago. And so I'm doing the show, and I'm opening. And I do good. I don't kill. I mean, I'm just the opener, you know? And headliner destroys. And it's in upstate New York. And the guy goes like this to me. He goes, this guy comes like, you were amazing, to the headliner. And he goes, come here, kid. Let me talk to you. He goes, I'm one of the most successful masons in New York. I own this company, that company. We built this and that, bricks. Laid it. I was a laborer for 20 years or something like that, you know, whatever. And then I built this empire, blah, blah, blah. He goes, you're a laborer now. He goes, you're the guy who stirs the fucking mud and the cement, and you do the grunt work. That's the opener. He goes, one day you'll be the mason. He goes, but right now, you know, it was such a...
That was a great little analogy, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he goes, you're in
the
labor.
That was the best way to bust your balls you ever could have gotten.
Right? Exactly.
You're like, you're doing the cement, you're bombing right now, you're stirring and the thing.
Yeah. I'm like 19 fucking years old. Fuck you. It's like, sir, I'm working as a pro 3 months in. I'm already opening, getting paid. But I'm a laborer, a jerk off.
You know what? That was a good analogy.
But it was. Yeah. It was cool. And I never forgot it. You know what I mean? The guy probably dead now, died from brick exhaustion. I don't know. Is that a word? is that a thing?
Is that a coke overdose?
Brick exhaustion. So, cool. So there's a couple things I like to, is there anything else you want to plug? Have you had a good time?
Yeah, I've had a real good time. And just, you know, come out, see me stand up and, you know, check out my projects.
Do you plug any dates?
Yeah.
Well, tonight, tomorrow.
Do you have any, like, in the future, like, down the road?
I'm going to be in New York the end of the month, you know, okay. I had a couple clubs, city clubs. Yeah. And then, you know, I got different things. Supposed to be the La Jolla Comedy Store later in the summer. Okay. And then a couple other places that...
So you should update, lazy fuck, your website.
Comedy Mix. You know what the problem is with the website? My guy doesn't really do websites anymore.
You just get a new guy.
I know, but it's like, I got, like, a crazy site.
Just get his
site.
Password and then let... Somebody come in.
I want to see how long I can go with like a completely out of date website. Like you can see him this fall. He's on he'll be on the Golden Girls, you know.
It's like coming up, there's a picture of you and Billy Barty as 5 years old.
That's
you
know,
like, I'm taking my picture with Billy Barty. So cool. There's a couple things I like to ask right before you get out of here. You know, this is every man masturbates, you masturbate, right? If you're on the road, you masturbate. You're faithful to your... Do you consider masturbating cheating on your girl?
No.
No? Okay. She does. My wife does. She thinks it, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to stop.
Yeah, I'm faithful. You know, you got to be faithful.
So what would your name be if you were a porn star?
What was the thing? It used to be... What was it? Your last
dog
name,
your
dog.
Street,
it's your first pet
first,
and your street
My first
name.
Pet was Stasha.
Stasha.
And my first row was Quarter Mile. So Stasha Quarter Mile.
That's beautiful.
Stasha Quarter Mile.
Linda Lovelace and Stasha Quarter Mile.
Let me tell you what, Quarter Mile is a great last name. Porn star.
That's funny.
Quarter Mile? Like Quarter Mile?
Yeah. Like a Quarter Mile.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Oh, good. And what would be your favorite position if you were that porn star? Stash a quarter mile.
I'd be like a KGB, you know, I put on a KGB outfit.
Okay, good, good, good. And I think I've seen you play this before, like a gang member. So what would your gang name be?
My gang name? I don't know. Chris Kripp? I don't know.
Chris Kripp. Okay, cool. So, being Italian, we didn't talk about that at all, but I do want to talk about it a little bit.
I'm actually Polish. I'm not Italian.
So you just...
So my last name is Nowicki with an I.
So we found out. So he lied about his bio. And now we're like, it's Italian now. So Nowicki. Okay.
Yeah, so it's Polish. I grew up in an all-Italian area. And so people assume I'm Italian. I've been on a lot of Italian kind of things.
Right.
Sopranos, all these. But I'm not Italian. I'm Polish, German, Irish.
Okay. Excellent. So it's a big mix. Excellent.
Mixed together, it equals Italian.
So what is, and we your man crush was Billy Barty. So we got that out of the way. What is... last thing to say, what is your favorite swear word?
Swear word? I like fuck, I guess. That's a...
It's a classic.
It's a classic. It really can... Yeah. What the fuck? You know, it's a great what the fuck. I love, you know.
So, let's say fuck. Really commit to it. 5 times to a casting director that picked another actor over you.
It's any role. What the fuck? Fuck, 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 fuck. Fuck you.
He has the fuck you. Nick Nowicki, love you, buddy. Thank you so much for doing it, man. Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. Tim, say goodbye. Woody.
Goodbye, thank you.
Adios.
See you next time, bitches.
Bye.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look.